Once again, I want to thank you guys for being here this morning. Everybody online, thank you for worshiping with us. And as a reminder, I don't need to do this, but I want to just remind you guys, there's so many different ways to give and to give back of your tithe. You know, obviously we talk about service and time, which is so important as you give that as an offering to the Lord. But also there's so many other ways to give your tithe through online or the boxes that are in the back. So I just want to encourage you with that. It's Palm Sunday. What a great Sunday. Just remembering this part of the ministry of Jesus as he was approaching Jerusalem and really spending his last days of earthly ministry in Jerusalem. And it reminded me of a story of a little boy named Billy, and Billy was looking forward to church on Sunday. And it was Palm Sunday. Well, Saturday he got sick, and so his parents thought it'd be a good idea for him to stay home. And so they got a babysitter to come and watch him as the family went to church. After church they came back, and all his siblings and his parents had palm branches, and they're carrying them into the house. And Billy was like, what is that? And the dad said, well, these are palm branches. And he goes, what are those for? And so, well, the dad said, well, people waved those over Jesus' head when he was walking by. And Billy looked at him with a bewildered face and said, of all the Sundays I miss, and Jesus shows up. All right, you might get that later anyway. Listen, Jesus is here, and here's the good news. We're able to remember and celebrate and to worship Palm Sunday because we know the end. Amen. We know what happens. We know next Sunday we're going to be celebrating a risen Savior. We know that at the end of all things, we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. And so we're able to come here today to worship and think about Palm Sunday as Jesus begins his last days of earthly ministry leading up to the crucifixion and then to his resurrection. And so what a great and glorious day to be reminded of all that Jesus has done. This also marks the beginning of what some will call Holy Week or Passion Week. If you get a chance, make sure you kind of follow along in the last days of Jesus while he was here doing ministry. All in all, it is to prepare us for the crucifixion and then also for the resurrection. But today, as we talk about Palm Sunday, I'm going to be looking in John in chapter 12, and it is a snapshot of what took place on this day. What happened as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, as the people gathered around, singing their praises and speaking praises to him. Again, just a great picture, and I love John. Now it's a concise picture of all that was happening in this time. So if you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 12. And we're going to be reading there in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. And as always, if you are able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? So this is what God's Word says in John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. And so the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Father, thank you for your word. And again, thank you for the power that is in your word. And our prayer this morning, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts, transform us, change us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we think about Palm Sunday and leading into Easter next Sunday, you know, pastors have taken many different approaches to Palm Sunday, focusing in on different things. We can focus in on the crowd of people waving the branches, you know, that they were there singing Hosanna, and then just a short time later, many of those same people were saying, crucify, crucify him. So many pastors have taken that that road and talked about that. Many have talked just about the truth of singing out the term Hosanna and have talked about that. Some have taken the approach of talking about the donkey and what that represents and what that donkey means, and so we've heard sermons and messages on the donkey. This morning, what I want to do is I want to take this passage and I kind of want to look at just some general lessons learned. What are some lessons that we can learn just from the big picture of this time, of Palm Sunday, of this passage of Scripture that we can apply to our lives that hopefully can kind of carry us through Passion Week, Holy Week, and into the months to come, into the years to come, hopefully just kind of giving us a challenge and encouraging us, spurring us on to what God has called us to do. So we're going to take a big picture look at this day and this passage of Scripture of what was going on and how we can apply that to our life. And the first thing is we look at this passage, so keep your Bibles open to this passage in John. And so we're going to look through these verses once again. And the first thing is really what we find at the beginning. And let's look at it once again. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. I want you to hear these words and what is happening, get a good picture of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. There was a great crowd that had gathered around him, and they believed it was fitting to cry out to him, to celebrate Jesus as he was coming in, saying and speaking these words, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he. Listen, we can learn a lot from this scenario. And the first thing I want you to know is this. Jesus is always worthy of our worship. Jesus is always worthy of our worship. So let's face it, and we're going to talk a little bit about where this crowd came from in a sense, but the truth is, not all of these people were totally committed to Jesus. I mean, most of them were not. We can just assume most of them were not faithful followers of Jesus. We know the Pharisees were there. We know that many people that were there will be the same people that will later say, crucify, crucify. They did not get the full picture of who Jesus was. And so we see that and we know that those people were gathered around Jesus with the palm branches, waving the palm branches, crying out, singing out, yelling out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he. Can I just encourage you today and say this? That if it was enough for those that were in that crowd that didn't truly understand Jesus and his mission, if it was enough for them to cry out, blessed is he, to sing his praises, how much more should it be for us? How much more should it be a priority for us to worship Jesus with all that we have because he is worthy? Listen, they didn't have the end picture here. We get the picture, right? We have the perspective and we can look at his plan and his purpose. And we should be able to worship him no matter what's going on, no matter the situation. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1. This is a great passage on the truth of his worthiness. If you had questions about the worthiness of Jesus to worship him, look at Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. It says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, now listen, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So, listen, if you had questions about the worthiness of Jesus to be worshipped, Hebrews chapter 1 is a chapter packed full of why He is worthy to worship. Why, and no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter where we are, no matter what we... Listen, He is worthy to be worthy. Look at that. If you have that passage open to Hebrews 1, listen, it just simply says this. He owns it all. He, not only that, He made it all. He reflects completely the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact imprint or representation of God's being. He continues, I love this, continues to sustain all things. He paid the price for our sin, and not only that, He rules over all. Listen, that's our Jesus. He is worthy to be worshipped. A.W. Tozier said this, "We are saved to worship God. All that Christ has done for us in the past and all that He is doing now leads to this one end." So if we recognize from this story a lesson that Jesus is worthy to be worshipped, I want to give you a challenge with this. For this week coming and hopefully for the rest of your life, our lives, but especially as we approach Easter, listen, never let your plans overshadow your purpose. Never let your plans overshadow your purpose. And here's what I mean by that. Listen, we can all kind of agree that Easter is a pretty busy time. And let's just be honest. Right now, you're probably thinking of Easter meals. What am I going to make? You're thinking about Easter egg hunts, which we even have one here. All these events that are taking place, and you're just kind of rolling them through your mind. You know, who's going to come over? Where are we going? You know, all these things, all these plans are being made. Can I just say, sometimes our purpose, the main purpose of our life, can kind of get muddied and missed in the grand planning of events. And many times in our life, we miss the purpose of worshiping Jesus and glorifying God because the plans get in the way. And this week, I want that week, this week to be different. I want it to be different for all of us. I want us to focus on our purpose. First and foremost, our purpose of worshiping Jesus, of glorifying God with all that we have, with our voices, with our lives. What can we do to worship Him this week? Here's what Scripture says, and I love Psalm 147 in verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God." Now listen to what it says. "For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." I love that. Listen to what it's saying is this. It is appropriate to worship God. It is fitting to worship Jesus. And listen, this has some powerful punch to it. It means this. No matter if you are sitting at a table with your whole family about to devour some coconut pie, that's my favorite, coconut pie, no matter if you are in a field with 1,000 eggs and tons of kids all around ready to go and devour some candy and some eggs, no matter if you're at the dinner table, the card-playing game, not poker table, card-playing table, no matter where you are, can I just tell you, it is fitting and appropriate to worship Jesus. Listen, we have lots of plans. Please, let's not let our plans kind of muddy up our purpose and make us miss the purpose of worshiping Jesus. He's worthy. He is worthy of being worshipped. We'll look at verses 14 through 16. It says this, and Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. I say donkey, it makes me think of Shrek. So, donkey. Okay, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. I don't think I'll get in trouble for that. But anyway, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So the lesson that we learn is not just Jesus is worthy to be worshipped, but here's the other lesson that we learn from Palm Sunday, especially during this time, is that his ways are never wrong. We can truly celebrate Palm Sunday because we catch a glimpse of the sovereignty of God. We catch a glimpse that his ways are always right. They are never wrong. His timing is perfect. His plans are perfect. And so we recognize that all that he does is right. Now this is profound for so many reasons because, can I just say again, we do have lots of plans, right? I mean, that's just how we operate. That's how we're wired. We have a lot of things that we like to do, things that we desire, things that we can lay out for us as a in our families, in our homes. But it's important for us, and what we learn from this is that in it all, we do have great creativity as people, but in it all, God's plans are perfect, not ours. I love Isaiah 55, and it just says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Listen, we are smart people, and God has gifted us with brains that we make decisions, but never be mistaken. God's plans are perfect. His ways are higher. I heard someone say one time that they wake up every morning and they have the same routine. Before they get down and they pray and read Scripture, the first thing that they say when they get up out of bed and before they pick up their Bible is they say this, "There is a God and it's not me." I think that's important for us as believers, that God is real and we're not Him. And so we recognize that the authority of perfect plans, the authority of all that is happening rests in His hands, and we have to recognize that He is never wrong. And so what that means really for us, and in your notes you'll see this, never let your preferences hinder your perspective. Never let your preferences hinder your perspective. What I mean by that is this. Listen, for the disciples, I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to read into Scripture, but the instruction of them, for them to go get a donkey, probably wasn't the coolest idea out there. That probably wasn't where their mind was. They knew Jesus was coming. All the people probably on the same page. They wanted the king to roll into town, take over the government. Everything was going to be great. Listen, I'm pretty sure, and we know this from Scripture, the disciples didn't even get it. They didn't get the big picture. And so when those instructions came, "Hey, go get this donkey. It's tied up." Listen, in the back of their mind, I can only imagine them probably saying, this is kind of strange. I mean, this is a donkey, a young colt donkey. It's not even like the one that talks, So this is kind of an interesting donkey that we're getting for Jesus to ride to go into Jerusalem. Listen, in their minds, I can only imagine confusion, kind of thoughts. I can't believe, what is this? What's happening here? But listen, their plans were one way, but God had others. And His plans were perfect. And the one thing that we learn is that this was fulfillment of prophecy. It was the picture of humility and service as He's riding into Jerusalem. It was exactly how God wanted it. Listen, Jesus is never wrong. And what we find in this scripture is that we may have preferences. The disciples probably had preferences. The people waving the branches probably had preferences. But listen, and that's okay. But don't let your preferences hinder your perspective of what God desires. That in it all, God's perspective is greater and it's perfect. And we have to understand that God's plans, those are the ones we follow. Listen, this comes into play for all of us as we struggle with maybe illness, sickness, whatever may be going on in our life. We desire healing. We desire these. We do. That's just part of who we are. And that's okay. But may it never supersede God's plan. May we trust in that perspective, the big picture perspective of what God is doing. And may we just lean in on Him. Luke 18:27, but He said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Jeremiah 32 says, "O sovereign Lord, You made the heavens and earth by Your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for You." Listen, the perspective should be on God's power and strength and perfection. May we not just rest on our preference. I love in John chapter 11, one of the greatest stories. Matter of fact, in this passage that we just read, many of the crowd that was there were there because of Lazarus, because they witnessed what happened with Lazarus. And so in John chapter 11, it talks about this. And what I love about the story of Lazarus is that the way that Jesus did it and the plan that God had was not a human plan. It was not what the people wanted. It's not what his sisters wanted, but it was perfect. Matter of fact, in verses 17 through 20, it says, "Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary remained seated in the house." And then verse 21, "Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died.' And then she said this, 'But even now I know that whatever You ask from God, God will give You.'" There's a picture of submission to God's plan, to the big perspective of what God has, His power, not just personal preference. So I want to encourage you as this week goes on. Listen, His ways are never wrong. So trust in His ways. The last thing is this. Look at verses 17 through 19. It goes on, it says, "The crowd that had been with Him when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet Him was that they heard He had done this sign. And so the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after Him.'" Listen, this week, I want you to remember the lesson that I believe we find in this part of the passage, is that our witness has an influence on the world. Our witness has an influence on the world. Listen, look at what it says. It says, "The crowd that had been with Him when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness." Listen, and many of these weren't totally committed to Jesus, yet they still would witness about Jesus and the power of Jesus. So much so that the Pharisees said, "The world has gone after Him." It says this, listen, even those that weren't totally committed and totally understanding of the plan that Jesus had, even with their witness, the world was changing. And so can I just encourage us today and say this? That the message we have, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that He is alive today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that blood was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, that in Him we are forgiven, in Him we have life. Listen, the powerful message of Jesus Christ is at our fingertips. It's at the tip of our tongue. It's in our heart. And may we be willing to bear witness to the world. Listen, we have so much to share with the world. And when we share with the world, we see these words really coming into the same play here that the world will go after Jesus. Listen, we have something powerful to share. And may we be willing to influence the world through our witness, which comes down to this. Never let your pragmatism dilute your proclamation. These are funny words, I know. Never let your this is what happens when I try to use the same letters. Never let your pragmatism dilute your proclamation. And listen, it simply means this. We have some powerful words to proclaim. And these words bring life. Jesus gives life. Jesus changes families. The gospel changes communities. The gospel sets on fire and ablaze churches. The gospel, there is power in the message of the cross and the resurrection. And so when I'm talking about pragmatism, listen, this word pragmatism is an interesting word, kind of a philosophical, I guess, could be kind of word. And when it's coupled with a theology, really what it means, it takes a humanistic approach, which means this. And tell me, if you don't have to tell me, but listen, this is what we see in the world today. We feel sometimes in the world that what we have in God's Word and in the gospel is not enough. And let me tell you why we see that. That's why churches are filled with flashing lights. That's why we got flashy preachers. That's why we got all the smoke and all the big instruments and the bands. That's why we do all that. Because listen, because if it works, and we got all this stuff going and it works, then it must be right. Now, if it doesn't, then it's not right. Now, don't get me wrong. I love bands. And I love the lights. But when this becomes the only reason that people come to Jesus, if that's what we believe, then we've missed it. Because here's the deal. Here's the thought here. That we have it all figured out. And can I just tell you, God's Word has it figured out. And we need to make sure that we never leave the foundation of God's Word in what we do. When we start doing it ourselves, testing the truth and error in our own way, if I do it this way and it works and it must be right, listen, that is an ever-changing kind of shifting kind of sand. May we always be grounded on the truth of the gospel and on the truth of God's Word. And listen, when we do that, then the lights and the bands and the worship, listen, that is just flows from the truth of God's Word. That's what we want. Never the reverse. And so I say that just to encourage us with this. There's nothing more powerful than God's Word. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not have to be tweaked in order for it to make a difference in people's lives. Don't think that you have to add to it or take away from it. Listen, God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is as powerful today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, alive today, Jesus changes lives. And may we never resort to tactics and to shameless plugs to try to get our message across. Because listen, the message is powerful. And may we be true to God's Word. Never stray away from it. Listen again, we can have all the stuff. That's great. We want to reach this world. That is so important. But may we never stray from the truth of God's Word. So I want you to understand for today, we have the greatest message of all time. That message can change the world. And may we be willing to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. This Easter, may we take the powerful message of the resurrection And may we share it with our coworkers. May we share it with our neighbors. May we share it with our families. Because listen, life is available to all people because of Jesus Christ. These are incredible lessons learned from Palm Sunday.